Welcome back on this midweek Wednesday morning here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you until 10 o'clock this morning. We got our King of the Grill contest going on with Capital Barbecue. Today's code word is BBQ. So the short form for barbecue. Okay, BBQ. That's your code word for today, which isn't really a word, but anyway. Follow along. All right, so that's what you need to get into us at tsn1200.ca. So go to the website, click on the banner that's right across the top, fill out the information and that code word, and you're into the grand prize draw we're going to have. And that is a brand new Weber barbecue, courtesy of Capital Barbecue at 12 Grenfell Crescent in Nepean. Somebody's going to win that. To win it, you got to get at least one code word into us. We give you a code word every single day. The more you get in, the better the chance we'll draw your name, right? That stands to reason.
Yeah.
So get that code word into us, BBQ at tsn1200.ca. And we say to you, good luck. And don't forget about dear old dad. Father's Day is a week from Sunday. Still got 10 days, kids.
Buy him a barbecue.
Buy him.
Don't win this one.
Now, you're at the stage, like your kids, like my kids are older now. Like, your kids are Hammer teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, where are you at with fathers? Like, you getting gifts?
I don't really care. Mm-hmm.
No, I know you don't care. You don't care about anything.
I don't really care.
Are you getting any gifts? Are you getting, like, I don't know, food on Father's Day morning?
I don't think so.
Nothing. You get zero?
I get zero.
Hammer's just a giver. That's the one thing.
I don't need anything. Just. Yeah.
Well, I don't need anything either. I don't expect anything. But, you know, maybe sometimes, especially if your kids are still living at home. Hey, maybe it'd be nice if you did something to surprise me.
I don't like spending money on them, so they shouldn't spend money on me. That's my philosophy.
All right.
So don't do it. Keep your cash.
All right. Dave Poulin is our TSN hockey insider. He's going to join us in 1 hour from now. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup final and as well the big trade that went down yesterday, the three-way. Mm-hmm. And in just a second, we'll talk about Alex DeBrincat, Craig Button weighing in on potential landing spots for the Sens. Restricted free agent winger. So we'll get to that in just a second. By the way, to wrap up our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question from yesterday, is the Stanley Cup final over, and I use that in air quotes, with Vegas up 2-0? Simple yay or nay on this one. And the yays take it.
Okay.
56%. You are a no, Simmer. I was a no.
Yeah.
Hammer was a yes.
Yeah.
Vegas has got
when
this
you
thing.
Say when you say over, you mean they're going to sweep, right?
No. It's just you know, it doesn't... we'll see how many games it takes, but Vegas is going to win.
Yeah.
That's kind of what
I took Vegas in five, and I'm still standing with that. So, I guess maybe I answered wrong. I just feel like in the two games, if Bob can rebound, and again, I think they're generating enough, I still feel like Florida's got an opportunity to win game three.
Mm-hmm. All right, game three is tomorrow. Again, we got the two-day break between games, so no game three until tomorrow night down in Sunrise, 8 o'clock faceoff. And here on TSN 1200, we'll have game three of the NBA Finals for you tonight. Also from Miami. That one tips off at 8:30. Nuggets and Heat tied at a game apiece. And that sort of stat that I gave that I don't know if I was really clear on it or whatever all time. So NBA Finals, when the series is tied at one, the team that wins game three goes on to win 80% of the time. That's historically.
Okay.
But over the last 12 years, so since 2011... that when the series is tied 1-1, the team that wins game three is only 3-4. So historically it's 80%, but it's actually less than 50% if you're only looking at the last decade.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the difference is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like we've talked about the effect of home ice, or in this case home court, isn't as big as it used to be. But interesting how that stat has turned in the NBA as well.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's certainly been interesting when it comes to professional sports. And part of it, quite simply, is, I guess, new stadiums. But it's also the mandate on fans here. You go to the old MSG or you go to the old Eagles games back in the day. You know, you truly had a home field advantage because players were intimidated. It was almost nasty. Well, all the corporate portion of that has cleaned out the real fans. And now you go into these cookie-cutter stadiums or buildings or whatever else, and, yeah, pretty friendly overall, even in the NBA, which is very close to the players.
8:30 tip time tonight, 7:30 pregame show for the NBA Finals. Game 3 right here on TSN 1200. Quick update on the French Open. I did not update it during the top-of-the-hour update, but the mixed double semifinal, two Canadians going at it, and not together. Gabby Dabrowski, who's from Ottawa, who is a double specialist, is in the semifinals with her partner, Nicholas Lamens, taking on Bianca Andreescu and her partner, Michael Venus. And it's 6-6. They're on the first set tiebreaker with, obviously, the winner moving on to the final. Nice, so keep our eye on that for you as well. And that's looking like a delicious men's semifinal tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Novak Djokovic, 22-time Grand Slam champion, taking on the new big thing in men's tennis, Carlos Alcaraz, the number one seed. That match will go tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, Paris time. And that's the first men's semi. That's I'm looking actually forward to watching.
Yeah, very much so. Djokovic, I don't know what to make of him. It's kind of match by match whether I want to cheer for him. But Mr. Alcaraz, in watching him and the power and everything that he's brought to the table, we see the big three with Federer already retired, Nadal probably not far off with injuries. And this guy comes along, and we've been touting our young Canadians, and this guy's just come on and just been absolutely amazing to watch. And the physical maturity at that age, JR, is the neat part, right? I mean, he just looks like a man-child out there and very, very confident.
Okay, so if you haven't been outside yet this morning, and you do have to go outside, it's worse today. The smoke is worse today than it was yesterday, like significantly worse. Mm-hmm. And not only in the smell, but you can just see it. Yesterday it was like everything was sort of yellow. Mm-hmm. Today it's just like it's just hanging there.
Yeah,
and
it looks like fog. I mean, you're coming outside, it's almost like a foggy, cloudy day.
The visibility is certainly affected. You can't see nearly as far, and the air quality index. So this comes from the Ontario Environment Ministry. Mm-hmm. This is measured every hour, and I got the measurements from across Ontario. So, for instance, so it's a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being great, 10 being terrible. An hour ago, Ottawa was at a 29 on a scale of 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. We've improved now to 25.
Okay. Is that the sun coming up, JR, and burn some of it off?
Maybe it's a little windier and that's mixing things up. Okay. Not quite sure. Yeah. 25 is still, as it says right here, very high risk. So anybody dealing with any underlying health issues or any breathing issues or whatever, Ottawa Health is even anybody. Doesn't need. Like, limit your time outdoors today.
Must be like living in L.A. when the smog is there. We also see in China and other countries where there's so much pollution where people have masks on all the time.
Yeah. So Ottawa, Kingston is really bad. Belleville is not very good. Interesting, Cornwall is a 10, which on the scale of 1 to 10 is not very good. Yeah. But in comparison to Ottawa, Cornwall is pretty good. Thunder Bay is a 1. Yeah. Toronto's a 3. Yeah. So if you got anybody you know in Toronto and you're talking to them today and they're complaining about the smoke, you're a 3 or a 25.
Yeah, relatives in Thunder Bay. Other part of Cornwall, because of the paper plant there, they normally are at a 25.
It's closed. Yeah. It's been closed for several years.
Okay.
the paper mill jokes in Cornwall have long passed.
That was a feature of a kid. You'll never forget that smell when we went into Cornwall.
That and Thurso.
Oh, big Thurso. Time. Big time.
That
big
one
time.
Still exists, I think, in Thurso. Yeah. Okay, 727. So a couple of we talked a lot about the golf merger yesterday. I want to get to some of the texts that have come in on that. Good morning, lads. Bottom line, it's not about values and sports washing. It's about money. The reason loyal PGA players are pissed off is because they missed out on making bank like those who jumped to live. They had their chance and they missed out. Boo-hoo. That comes from unsigned from JC. Did the PGA just make a deal with the devil? It's insanity, the PGA Tour player said. The LIV Tour was dead in the water. It wasn't working. Now you're throwing them a life jacket. Is the moral of the story to just always take the money? That's from a quote from ESPN. That's from JC.
Yeah, that is it is the moral of the story. And I said this at the beginning. The one thing you owe yourself in life when it comes to finances, and I'm not talking anything illegal, is to take care of your own family. That's all you owe. Any stuff about legacy, reputation, everything else, take care of your family.
These guys are already rich. No tears. Yeah. That comes from unsigned. From unsigned, I think a lot of people can sleep easier at night knowing that a lot of the companies associated with the PGA Tour only have secondary connections to the Saudis and other illicit means, whereas LIV is taking the money directly from the Saudis without any attempts to hide where it's coming from.
Well, and that's why you get paid so much more, Jerry. You cut down the middleman.
Exactly. All right, keep your thoughts coming. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. Get more details to come. Well, that was a stunner. From the world of golf yesterday, as the PGA, the European Tour, and LIV Golf have announced a merger. And in essence, really, the Saudi Investment Fund is now bankrolling the PGA Tour. Okay, we're going to talk to Bob Weeks about that, TSN golf analyst. He'll join us after 9. Dave Poulin coming up. We'll talk Stanley Cup Final, the big trade yesterday. He'll join us just after 8 o'clock this morning. Lots of talk here in Ottawa the past few days about the potential of Alex DeBrincat and what's going to be going on with him, a pending restricted free agent. Still nothing official from his camp about what he wants to do at the end of the season. I'm going to go away and talk to my family, my agent, see what I want to do. Pierre Dorion last week on TSN 1200, we'd like to sign him to a long-term contract. But rumors have started to surface that Ottawa is doing its due diligence now and at least talking about a potential trade of Alex DeBrincat. Here is TSN's Craig Button on potential landing spots for DeBrincat.
Now for Pierre Dorion, the general manager, it's about, okay, what can we do realistically to acquire something meaningful for our team? They gave up the 7th overall pick to the Chicago Blackhawks to get DeBrincat, and DeBrincat has no interest in signing with the Ottawa Senators. So now it's not just where he'd be a fit. Who doesn't want somebody that can score 40 goals and be that reliable? But it's also going to have to be a place where Alex DeBrincat wants to go and sign a longer-term contract if you want to maximize to the greatest extent possible the trade value. Now, Pierre Dorion and the Ottawa Senators have another option. Hang on to him. Alex DeBrincat's going to want to play hard right to the end to try to make sure he cashes income free agency. He's got arbitration rights. But you might have the best trade market near the trade deadline when teams are trying to add that player and understanding that, hey, listen, he might not sign with us, but we're trying to win a Stanley Cup. So the options for the Ottawa Senators, I think, are numerous. But if you're looking at Alex DeBrincat, the player, I don't think there's teams that wouldn't be interested in him. And if you want me to name one team right off the bat, how about the Calgary Flames? They're dying to get a right winger on their lineup, and Alex DeBrincat could play there very nicely.
There you go. There's Craig Button on TSN last night talking about, there's one landing spot that he noted. And you've talked about this right from the start, Simmer, if you were the Sens, you would qualify Alex DeBrincat at the $9 million, and you would bring him back for next year. As you said,
well, if he's
he's part of the solution.
Well, if he's at it, these are little plays on a JR. Okay, he doesn't want to sign here long term. Okay, that's something different. But if he truly doesn't even want to be here, I'm rethinking that policy as well. If he's, listen, I'll come back on the $9 million and I'll play the year, but I'm not going to re-sign with you. Like I said, these are conversations. And to Craig Button, and I'm not trying to be, Alex DeBrincat is not a right winger for starters, right?
No.
So
he played left wing here, and he played left wing in Chicago.
No, he's played left wing his whole life. He plays his offside. But anyways, I'm just saying, who doesn't want Alex DeBrincat? Absolutely. Now, in this, in what Craig Button said, first of all, the trade deadline, I'm not sure that the value would be any greater than even selling him off on a one-year deal right now. And let's also get honest. I mean, come on. The Ottawa Senators haven't made the playoffs in 6 years. You're not bringing Alex DeBrincat back and then trade him at the trade deadline, because pretty good chance, if you're in a playoff spot, you're not going to make the playoffs. So that isn't happening. So the trick is exactly what I've said. The Matthew Tkachuk, now you got to try to line that up. And that's not an easy thing to do. Who are the teams? What teams is he going to give you? And also from a salary cap standpoint, it's probably an 8x8. Absolutely, there's lots of teams that are interested in Alex DeBrincat. How many of them can afford an $8 million winger? And how many places does he want to go to? Like I said, this is really, really tricky on trying to put this together. And I credit Brad Treliving last year for finding it. And it didn't work out, but I still think the recovery based on the spot he was in was pretty good. Can the Ottawa Senators find that same type of situation? That ultimately, as it sits right now, if he's adamant about not coming back. But as I said, my $9 million qualifier was as much on bring him back with the hope that you can work something out. But I also have said this, JR, wasn't totally sold on the player last year. Part of my thought was, well, let's get him back. You got new ownership. You know, now you can both sit down just like you ended up having with Pastrnak last year and hammer out a deal. But when a player truly does not want to be somewhere and you're trying to take your program next level, that gets awfully dicey.
The issue as well for Ottawa, which hasn't made the playoffs in 6 years. So let's say, so you go into next year with Alex DeBrincat, Craig Button says, look, he's going to be a motivated hockey player. He's going to be playing for, at that point, the big contract that's going to take him through the rest of his career, all kinds of money. He's going to be very motivated. All right. Yeah. So if Alex DeBrincat is a motivated hockey player and he's a good hockey player for you next year and he's playing lights out or whatever, and he's kind of close to where he was or is where he was with Chicago on a 40-goal pace, that's probably part of the reason why you're a better hockey team next year.
Exactly.
You're in a playoff position next year at the trade deadline, and you're going to trade him
at
that point? Yeah. Are you going to do that? for the Ottawa Senators, and Alex DeBrincat has told you that he's not going to, or he wants to go to July 1st.
Yeah.
Hasn't closed the door on re-signing with you, but you don't have any idea at the end of the day what he's going to do.
Well, he'll sign him by the deadline or he's not signing.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that.
Are you trading Alex DeBrincat when you're fighting for a playoff spot when you haven't made the playoffs in 7 years?
Yeah, probably not. And imagine for your players. And I do think big picture the players care. But in the here and now, for Claude Giroux at his age, do you think he cares if you trade Alex DeBrincat at the trade deadline for futures or for Brady Tkachuk or Stützle for everybody else, not to mention your fan base that you're trying to grow back. So, as I said, and that's where it has, again, this little play on not wanting to re-sign in Ottawa right now until the new ownership was said yesterday, not wanting to be in Ottawa, that's two different things, JR.
Yeah, and I've not heard that from anyone.
No,
he said definitively he has no interest in re-signing.
Exactly.
I hadn't heard that before.
Until you have clarity on that, I can't take a position. But like I said, Alex DeBrincat says, I'm not re-signing with you, but I'll come back and play. You know, what we saw, and I said the silver lining, I totally understand why he doesn't want to re-sign until there's new ownership. He needs to be told that in the first year of the deal, where he doesn't have any trade protection, that he won't be moved along. I mean, you'd be foolish as an agent not to do that, would you not, Jer?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, so like I said, until we really, well, we don't know. Now, as far as fielding offers and recovery, that's the part that should scare you as a Sens fan. Because I don't feel that the Ottawa Senators, now we'll see how all the pieces fall into place. And certainly you're talking about a big chunk of change you can use. But where is that money going to go to? And if you dice that up into two or three parts and, you know, in some type of trade and a player is coming back and a decent prospect and a pick like that, well, that's not going to really be forward progress for the Ottawa Senators next year at a very pivotal season.
The other part about going into next year, and I know, listen, life is about taking risk and taking chances, and nothing ventured, nothing gained, and every other cliche that goes with it is, if you go into next year with Alex DeBrincat, and the idea is, you know, that we're going to potentially, let's say that next year, you know, doesn't end up looking like it's going to be a playoff spot, but you've got Alex DeBrincat, and you're going to auction him off at the trade deadline, you are taking a risk with an injury.
Oh, sure.
I know you can't put anybody in bubble wrap,
No.
But you are taking a risk of going into next year with a guy in an expiring contract who, if he got hurt, and your idea was we're going to sell him off to the highest bidder at the deadline, and he's injured, you get zero.
Yeah, no, you look at Patrick Kane's situation, any guys that are injured or close to it. Now, also, and again, this is what I would say, and I give so much credit to Craig Oster in getting the deal for Josh Norris. Said it last year. Man, oh man, if that was my client, I'd be grabbing as much security as possible. And glad he did. Do you imagine if he didn't do that, Jer, where he'd be at right now? And for Alex DeBrincat's camp, and I know it was only a down year, but he's had two down years so far in his career, and I know he's a hell of a hockey player. I would just personally, I'd be wrapping this guy up in a long-term deal. And I do wonder from their camp, is that the recognition on a couple of things? Okay, it's one thing to say he doesn't want to sign in Ottawa. Is the asking price too high for Ottawa? And do they know that there's somebody else out there that'll give it? Like I said, there are a lot of factors. But personally, and I know I take this tact all the time, like there would be no reason if I'm representing Alex DeBrincat, unless there's not a payday to be had, there's no way that I'm rolling the dice on it. I'm getting him his 7 or 8 year deal right now. Get him paid. Get the money in the bank. And God, when you come out of that contract, if things have gone well, you could still probably make yourself some more cash.
Alex DeBrincat is a Michigan guy. Has lived kind of in northern climates, right? You know, grew up or played with Chicago, played junior in Erie, obviously played it last year in Ottawa. Yeah. So I have no idea whether, you know, he's a warm weather guy.
Tells he's sick of the cold.
Whatever. If he's a Michigan guy and let's say playing for Detroit, and he's never mentioned it, but let's just throw this out there for conjecture's sake. If the Detroit Red Wings come to the Ottawa Senators with clearly the best offer, do you have any hesitation whatsoever in trading him within your division, especially a team that's kind of on the same competitive curve as you are, right? The Buffalo Sabres, the Ottawa Senators, and the Detroit Red Wings are all kind of in the same. They're all teams that look like they're on the rise, all teams that, like, ultimately, if everything sort of, you know, all the planets align themselves, that will be the next group of teams that should go up to the top of the Atlantic Division with maybe Montreal trailing by a year or two. Do you have any hesitation at making, if the best deal is with the Red Wings, of making the deal with Detroit?
Well, if the best deal is with the Red Wings, sure, I'll make the deal. But if the deal is also kind of more of they're getting better now and I'm taking a little bit of futures, yeah, it gives me pause for thought for sure. But at the end of the day, you have to be confident in the deal. But I'll also go back to the Alex DeBrincat thing and the Detroit angle and Steve Yzerman. And as you said, what you're bringing up is a great point based on the division. I don't put anything into all this hometown stuff that always comes up. And, you know, yesterday I saw somebody saying, well, if Carter Hart's getting traded, they're going to want Primo. I'm like, okay, would you stop it? We heard that with Bobby Ryan forever. When's the last time Bobby Ryan was even in Philadelphia? Like, he's lived in Nashville. He's lived in Idaho. You hear this stuff. Johnny Hockey's going back to New Jersey. No, he ended up in Columbus. Primo is not a very good goaltender for starters. I don't think the Philadelphia Flyers care that he's from there. So to your point, relative to the trade, yeah, it certainly you think about it because they are right there and you know that he's going to be better next year. Quite simply, the question is, what are you bringing back and what the Ottawa Senators want to bring back and why I said this is very difficult. You want to bring back a comparable player to Alex DeBrincat. Who is that player? Why is he being traded? What type of contract is he on? It's a real, real difficult circumstance and exactly why I made these points a year ago when the trade was made.
What makes it also fascinating
yeah.
is that this is an onion with many layers. This isn't kind of a typical situation with DeBrincat.
No. And it didn't line up with the rebuild either. It was a flashy move to get everybody. And I'll say that it did get everybody excited, but it didn't deliver for $9 million. He underperformed. He was minus 31. And now you got yourself possibly in a serious jam.
Right. And? Can you extricate yourself?
Exactly.
That is, as he said, Pierre Dorion said, that's what my June is. I'm going to be dealing with the DeBrincat file. Yeah. So we'll see how it all unfolds. So there you go. There's the latest. And yeah, on Calgary, I don't know if I see that. If Alex DeBrincat, again, has no interest in signing with Ottawa, does he have interest in signing with Calgary? And if he doesn't, long term I'm talking about, why are the Flames giving up whatever they would have to give up to bring DeBrincat for one year? I don't see that. But we'll see.
Yeah, and that is really, you know, the difficult part. You know, as you said, JR, the onions we've used a couple of times. But
yes,
but I like
my onions.
Yeah, but it is true, though. Like, we don't know. We don't know, like, what his family situation is. Like, trying to predict where a player wants to play, why he wants to play. Does he want to be in the United States as an American? I'm assuming his wife is American. I don't know. What are the teams that he looks at? And what do the teams think of him? You know, after last year, is everybody's bullish on him? Like I said, it is impossible for us to really understand, you know, our teams right now. And I'll go back to the Jason Spezza situation. A few things. That was a really difficult trade to be made because, first of all, he turned down Nashville. But also remember, when he went to Dallas, they basically wanted to get rid of him. But they also did the old test drive, right? Wasn't with a contract extension. I think he signed in, what, November that year? Jim Neal said, we're both going to test this out. Well, then they extend him. For Alex DeBrincat, that's also the part that he can end up doing. Well, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere, but I'm going to go there for part of the year. Then in the new year, he's going to sign a contract extension. That won't bring any value to the Ottawa Senators unless you put something in the trade that if you do extend the player, that you get another pick or something.
All right,
much like Patrick Kane with San
right.
Jose.
Yeah. All right, your thoughts are welcome. We'll get to it after the break. You can text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN 1200. And again, Dave Poulin will join us, talk all things NHL, including yesterday's big three-way trade with Pooley when he joins us after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Welcome back, 7:47 on this Wednesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. A couple of texts come in at 12-1200 on the DeBrincat discussion. Kevin writes, in my opinion, DeBrincat has already ruined his rapport with the fans with all this news coming out that he doesn't want to sign long-term. So he's going to get booed either way until he really starts pumping in the goals. That's my thought. That's from Kevin. I'll say this, Kevin, and this speaks to, you know, a lot of the golf fans. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak on their behalf, but this is, I think, what generally happens is people have a natural first reaction to something. I don't like Alex DeBrincat because he says he doesn't want to play here. Mm-hmm. And then Alex DeBrincat starts having some success and the team has success and everybody comes around on it. Just like all the people yesterday who said, I'm never going to follow the PGA Tour again because of what they did, will eventually start watching golf again. It's just
probably this weekend if we're smoked in the house.
Yeah, time heals all wounds.
Here's the thing on Alex DeBrincat, okay? Alex DeBrincat did not ask to come to Ottawa. He had no idea. There is no reason for you to do this. If he's pulling a fast one, if fans want to get mad at Jason Spezza after being named captain for a year to leave, okay, that's a bit different. You want to get mad for Alfie or other things. Like I said, this is almost like the old, when a guy hands a mega free agent contract and then you're super mad at the player. Okay, if the player's not, putting in the work, JR, at the end of the day, Alex DeBrincat did not ask to come to the Ottawa Senators. They knew exactly what they were getting themselves into. I put zero fault on the player at this point or any reason to boo him if he even comes back to Ottawa this year. They knew exactly what they're getting themselves into. A $9 million hockey player with a $9 million qualifier. Good luck on that.
And 2 years away from unrestricted free agency. Yeah, yeah. And we've done this dance in Ottawa with Bobby Ryan.
Yeah.
We did that dance with Matt Duchene. Yeah. And now we're doing it with Alex DeBrincat.
There was no, and again, you'd have to ask, but, obviously Alex DeBrincat was under contract with Chicago when the trade was made. There was no contact with the agent. There was no contact with the player. No idea of what this player wanted in the future. And I'd also say, he came to town. He showed up early. Came here with what looked like a pretty open-minded attitude. But you have to remember that. He realized there's a pretty good chance he's going to get traded. But he did not ask to come to Ottawa. And Ottawa, again, when the trade was made, had no idea what the future was for Alex DeBrincat.
Everything in life is a gamble. You could put it that way. Boys, even if you trade DeBrincat for futures, it's not the end of the world. You repackage that stuff for something else. That being said, Ottawa's pro scouting has proven itself to be, it says here, to be stellar. Yeah. Probably less than stellar is what they're going for there. That has been, openly questioned. Ottawa's trades, for the most part, for players who have played in the NHL, the record has not been great. I think that's been widely discussed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not acknowledged by the team, but I think you just kind of have to look. The proof is in. We'll see what happens. Some of them have worked out, but a lot of them have not.
I'll ask you that, Jerry. In recent memory, what has worked out? Again, I'm not trying to be, but I like to be real. I'm asking what trades in recent memory. Chychrun, still wait and see. I hope it works out. And if he's healthy, should be a good trade. But I don't know if he's going to be healthy. Mm-hmm. So how did that work out? Joseph or Paul? How did that work out? Well, not so good. Matt Murray, how'd that one work out? Again, you go through it. And I'm asking, what was the last trade that Ottawa Senators made where you said to yourself, holy moly, what a great trade. Signing to Drew, absolutely awesome. What was the last trade that worked out for the Ottawa Senators?
Well, the Erik Karlsson trade worked out pretty well, although that was all for futures.
Absolutely did. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so you got one. What else?
Yeah, no, there hasn't been. It's not a long list.
And when you say less than stellar, it's been terrible. Like, it has not been good. And that, when you start to talk about now flipping out Alex DeBrincat, and this move never made any sense to start with. And now you're going to start dicing around, and now you're into recovery mode. No, it has not been good. And this program, and I guess some of my frustration, I see even last summer where they were on the verge of, with the parts of, had they kept Paul and Brown, and Formanton's different, JR, if you just stayed the course, and with the drafting and development being so good, there's so many great pieces in place, this could have been even better hockey team last year. Now you're into this other spot right again where you're trying to patch places, and you need, there's some serious work to be done on the roster. And you got the whole DeBrincat thing to deal with for the whole month of June versus trying to focus your energy on improving the hockey team.
Yeah. I mean, the shell of something really good is still there, but boy, there's a lot of work still to be done.
Yeah.
And a lot to be determined this summer, including DeBrincat, which is probably the biggest decision to be made. Okay, 752. Farm Team texts in and says, incredible quarterback club last night, fired up for the season. Yeah, I want to thank everybody. We had a great crowd last night out at Buster's Bar and Grill in Kanata. For our first quarterback club and radio show of the season, Lever Sage hosted. We had Nick Arbuckle, who we came to learn earlier in the day. He said he found out on the weekend, is going to start at quarterback on Saturday night in the season opener at Montreal. So Nick was there. Jalen Acklin, who in all likelihood will be the number one receiver with the team. He was there, as was Sackmaster. That's what I'm dubbing him. Sackmaster Lorenzo Maldon, who had a fantastic year last year. He was there as well. He talked about how different the vibe is under new, no longer interim coach, Bob Dice.
It's eye-opening, I can say, because the vibe now is totally different from when I walked in those doors last year. And nothing to Coach Lapo. Again, it just feels different. There's a shift in the locker room. And again, when Coach Dice speaks, it's spoken. Like, there's nothing to go against whatever he said, because we know he's taking us down the right path. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, or any rebuttals on what he says. It's what he says, and let's go. And mount up and let's do it.
Mount up and let's do
it.
Oh,
and nice.
How come you didn't trademark halfway through his answer when he speaks, it's spoken? Like that. That.
Are you upset that you didn't think of that?
Well, he's, you know what? Wouldn't surprise me if Lorenzo Maldon listens to the show on the way in every day of practice and he goes, the guy hosting that show is onto something with some of those things that he says.
Or he's referring to you. When the JR speaks, it's spoken.
It's such a JR-ism. It fits perfectly.
One of the things I love in professional sports, but I'm always so real careful of, having been around teams where you've changed coaches, and you know, you have some players, especially lesser players on your roster, at times will just talk about, oh my God, it's so much better now than before. And it's like, okay, I know you're not necessarily saying directly to the person, but you have to be careful. But what he said right there, there's nothing bad, and it's very accurate. You had a manager coming in that inherited a coach. That is never generally going to work, JR, right? So it feels like everybody's on the same page. It feels like it's right for the Red Blacks. And you got to be honest with you. Well, I'm cheering for the Red Blacks in a sense. I want to see them do well, but certainly cheering for Nick Arbuckle as well. I just love to see him get off to a great start and really turn it into, I guess, a bit of a quarterback competition. Be kind of fun.
Jeremiah Masoli, the Red Blacks announced yesterday, will sit out the first 2 weeks of the season, after which the Red Blacks are on a bye. So he will not play, if he's ready, until June the 30th. So, you know, we're June the 7th today, so we're looking at another 3 weeks of recovery time. That'll be pretty much almost exactly a full calendar year since he was injured in Game 4 of last season versus Saskatchewan. There's still some work to do, and you know, the sense of it I get is that it's as much about between the ears for Jeremiah Masoli as it is about the leg. That he's just, and anybody that's ever injured anything, it's like there's that those first few times that you try it where you're going, where you're thinking about it, and you're going, I don't trust it, I don't trust it, I don't trust it. And he's got to get to a spot where he trusts it. That's maybe he's not, I can't speak for him. Maybe he's not there. Maybe, you know, the coaching staff and the medical staff are not quite there yet, but they're going to give him another 3 weeks.
And I can only imagine. I think back to my good friend Tom Brady and the knee injury he had. For a pocket quarterback, JR, when you're sitting there, forget about trying to plant and make a throw. I can't fathom how you sit there and don't think about it the rest of your career. And also say for Masoli, if you've had injuries and, you know, you look at certain guys and they're hurt all the time, I think we'd all agree that that injury would have happened to anybody in that circumstance, would it not? Right. Like, it was that dirty of a play, right? So, let's hope he gets back. And like I said, maybe it turns into something positive and Arbuckle can have a couple of good games here and, you know, get this headed in the right direction.
You can find all the interviews from last night from our quarterback club on our website at tsn1200.ca. Thanks again, everybody that came out. Thanks again to Busters in Kanata for hosting us. And we'll be back again next month. We do this every single month throughout the football season. Red Blacks Quarterback Club and the radio show back every week on Tuesday nights, hosted by Lee Versage. Again, season opens Saturday in Montreal, 7 o'clock, and here on TSN 1200. Okay, quickly, before the top of the hour, I want to touch back on the PGA Tour and LIV merger from yesterday. I know some people are, technically it's not a merger, whatever. It makes it easy for people to digest if you say merger. I'm going to take you back to, in fact, pretty much exactly a year ago, when LIV actually kicked off with their first tournament over in England. It was the same week as the Canadian Open, coincidentally enough. The Canadian Open is this week, so we're almost exactly a calendar year later. Here is PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan last year.
I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that there are significant implications. And as it relates to the families of 9/11, I have two families that are close to me that lost loved ones. And so my heart goes out to them. And I would ask, you know, any player that has left or any player that would ever consider leaving, have you ever had to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour?
That was Jay Monahan, June 9th, 2022. Here is PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, June 6th, 2023.
I recognize everything that, you know, that I've said in the past and in my prior positions. I recognize that people are going to call me a hypocrite. And anytime I've said anything, I said it with the information I had at that moment. And I said it based on someone that's trying to compete for the PGA Tour and our players. And so I accept those criticisms, but circumstances do change. And I think that, you know, in looking at the big picture and looking looking at it this way. That's what got us to this point.
There you go. There's Jay Monahan. By the way, Rory McIlroy. So he met with he flew up to Toronto yesterday, and the Canadian Open is this week. It's not a star-studded field, although defending champion Rory McIlroy is there, and he's the biggest name on the on the existing PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. So having the head of the snake there is huge. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of players that are kind of, those guys that are struggling to keep their card every year. Yeah. They were part of that meeting yesterday, but Rory was there as well. And apparently after Jay Monahan left the meeting, Rory McIlroy got up and said some stuff as well, of which we haven't really heard much detail. We haven't heard from Rory McIlroy. Apparently he's supposed to speak this morning at 9:30. Yeah. So if indeed that is the case, we'll endeavor to bring that to you live here on TSN 1200.
Well, what do you make of the 9/11 comments, Chair?
In terms of what?
Well, is he referencing it because Bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, the families last year when the whole Live thing came up, the families that were impacted by 9/11 were very critical of because of the Saudi connection, the very clear connection between the hijackers and what went on that day.
I'd never heard that quote before, but it's quite an interesting to trace that back to the Saudi government versus someone who would live. Anyways, but it just, like I said, what a fool you look like a year later. And I wondered, again, to go back to the NHL, WHA, USFL, your dream is when you start these startup leagues, JR, is to be absorbed, right? It's just like with Coca-Cola and Pepsi. I'm going to start up my little company here. I hope they absorb me. I didn't, in my wildest dreams, think a year later the LIV Tour would absorb the PGA Tour.
The Saudis bankrolled it. They now own men's golf.
No, I know, but that's
they
what
own
I mean.
It. They bought it. They bought men's golf.
And
think about that. What is
the fascination with golf in Saudi Arabia?
Well, it's anything that sort of legitimizes what's going on in that country.
It's also anything that can get your money, in different functions.
Yeah,
there is
nothing that will open more doors. I think we all recognize that the amount of money that's involved in golf, right? In terms of sponsor, the types of companies that are sponsoring golf.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's a whole different level than a lot of the North American professional
leagues. Oh, for sure
leagues,
it is, yeah.
And look what's that. Yeah. They're buying golf, and the other thing they're starting to get their toehold in is soccer.
Yeah,
They're bringing aging soccer players over to their pro league. Yeah. Ronaldo, now Messi's going over there. Benzema's going over there as well.
Yeah.
They bought Newcastle in the Premier League, and that was a legal tussle, but they've got their hooks into the Premier League now.
And it makes it easier for companies. It makes it easier for companies now to sponsor golf. You know, it was supposed to be before. And I even wonder. Remember, we had this conversation a year ago about how would sponsors act to individual players, like who I don't want to be sponsoring. You're on the LIV Tour, and you're right. And I'm sure. And well, they have the races already, but you just think of the F1 portion of it. Well,
yeah.
I mean, how much Saudi money goes into F1?
All the races that are over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You had Qatar host a World Cup. Like it's not that hard to follow the breadcrumbs of what's happening here.
Oh, even Russia hosting a World Cup and Olympics. It's unfortunately, that's the way the world's always worked.
All right. Continue to share your thoughts on any of that. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. Bob Weeks, TSN golf analyst, is down at the Canadian Open. He's going to join us with his thoughts on what went down yesterday and what is how it's going to impact this week. It's certainly the news of yesterday has superseded. Essentially canceled the Canadian Open in terms of being on the radar screen of everybody outside of Canada, unfortunately, for the second straight year. That's what happened. But Bob Weeks will join us from down there. We'll get a little preview of the Canadian Open, but talk lots about the news of the day as well with him. Dave Poulin will join us coming up in about 10 minutes or so with the latest on the NHL. We had a trade yesterday. We'll talk about DeBrincat with him as well. And, of course, look ahead to Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, which goes tomorrow night. That's all straight ahead after our top-of-the-hour news and sports up. The latest on the fires and the smoke here in Ottawa is around the corner next on TSN 1200.